I write novels mainly, and also plays.
I'm a poet. I often perform my work.
I'm a writer, mostly in the fields of science fiction, fantasy and horror.
This is World Words from the British Council, a 10-part series about contemporary British literature.
I've been writing for over 20 years and I've written over 50 books.
In each programme we meet a writer and discuss one of their poems or novels.
I'm a poet and a novelist. The bit I'm going to read from here is a part of a novel called...
Here's Karen Brodie with World Words.
These days, novelists and poets writing in English come from a lot of different countries and cultures, and their work often reflects their society and the kind of English in use. Our guest writer lives in England, but he grew up in Scotland, and it's Scotland that's the setting for the novel that we'll be talking about today.
My name is Andrew O'Hagan. I'm a writer. I write novels mainly, and also plays. I'll be reading from my novel, Be Near Me. It's set in a small Scottish town, and it was my third novel. The story is told by Father David Anderton, and in the extract, he's just taken a bunch of school kids out for a day trip on a boat.
In a moment, Andrew's going to read us a scene from Be Near Me. Father David, a half-Scottish, half-English priest, has taken a group of Scottish children out for a boat trip. But instead of enjoying the beauty of the Irish Sea, they're talking about football, about a game between Celtic from Scotland and Liverpool from England.
Seagulls followed the boat, nipping in closer, tilting on the wing, as if they too were listening to Mark's story about the Liverpool game. "We were a European side that night," said Mark. "Half the English national team were running about in red shirts. Owen, Heskey, Gerrard. And we'd never gubbed Liverpool in a European match before. And what a feeling among the Celtic support. You could see the fans giving it full pelt in the terraces. The songs. Don't get me wrong, Liverpool have brilliant supporters, but the Celtic crowd are different." "Why is that?" I said. "Because they've had to fight their way up," said Mark. "They fought to be accepted, a Catholic team in Glasgow and then in Scotland and then in the world. It's a community, isn't it?" "But that's true of Liverpool too, isn't it? Those people have had to fight their way up." "That's what I'm saying. They have brilliant supporters. It's just, with Celtic, there's something a bit more." "And what happened at the house," I asked, "when you were watching with your father?" "When Thompson scored, it was a free kick, okay? Not far outside the box, it was like this." Mark motioned with his foot. "Larson skipped over the ball and Thompson blutered it and the wall just crumbled. I'm telling you, the wall fell apart, players jumping up and turning sideways to avoid the ball hitting them, and instead of hitting them, it fired right into the back of the net. 1-0. I was jumping up and down in the middle of the room and my da was smiling from ear to ear." "That's awesome," said Lisa. "He went to get up. It's a bit of a hassle for him sometimes getting up. He tried, but then I just bent down and grabbed him and cheered. He said, 'That's your Liverpool for you. It went right through their bloody legs. What a goal. Get me another beer for the fridge. We're gone to the semi-final.'" We were silent for a moment around Mark. "It was weird," he said, "because I don't think he likes me." "Nonsense," I said. "Of course your father likes you." "It's nothing to me," he said. "But what a night for Celtic. You've got to have your team, father." "I suppose so." I looked back to see Scotland, the woods that fringe the headland and the green breast of the hills. From our position, it seemed nothing could ever reach us or force us back, and we passed into a strange proximity with the advancing island of Ailsa Craig. More than an island, It seemed like a testament to physical endurance, this place, this lonely rock less than a dozen miles from the coast. It could have been the Aegean. It could have been the Bay of Bengal. But it was a golden spot on the Irish Sea, and we sat in the open boat as it moved into the shade.
Andrew O'Hagan there, reading from his novel Be Near Me. Also reading that same extract were a group of students from the Polytechnic of Namibia. They aren't very familiar with Scotland, but reading Be Near Me fired their imagination.
It's just a good country, a place to live, the way it is described in the story.
Green and lots of seawater, and the bay as he describes it, and the rocks as well. It's just a beautiful golden setting.
The story brings together three characters: the narrator figure, Father David, who has an English accent, and two 15-year-olds with local Scottish accents. The Namibian students notice that some of the extract's flavour comes from the Scottish voices of characters such as Mark.
The language he uses, the way the words are like written. If he was English, they don't talk like that. Mm-hmm. That just goes to show that he's not English, he's Scottish.
In this extract, Father David is on a boat in the middle of the Irish Sea. They're heading towards a famous rock called Ailsa Craig. And we hear the voices of not only Father David, but of Mark and Lisa too.
And how do you make these voices different? What techniques do you use?
I think the school children's way of talking is very much the way I spoke when I was a kid myself. I mean, I've been away from Scotland for 20 years, so like many people, your voice changes and grows with the circumstances that you find yourself in. But those children have what we'd call very broad Scottish accents, not just in terms of the way they speak, the sound of their voices, but in the words that they use.
Could we pick out some of the words here and perhaps you could explain them?
Yes, indeed. One of the things that happens in Scots dialect is that you often find words being shortened. So you see here, Mark says, "Int it," rather than "isn't it." And Father David elsewhere says, "isn't it." Larson skipped over the ball and Thompson blutered it and the wall just crumbled. The word blutered might be difficult for Father David. It's often a word used to describe people who are drunk, but it's also used here to signify kicking the ball so hard that it seems to be out of control, but actually it's going to hit its target. That's a word that you would only hear in Scotland, I think. "We were a European side that night," said Mark. "Half the English national team were running about in red shirts. Owen, Heskey, Gerrard. And we'd never gubbed Liverpool in a European match before." Another very Scottish word in this extract is the word gubbed. Gubbed. It's a wonderful sounding word. And what it means is just beat. In the line, "we'd never gubbed Liverpool in a European match before," simply means we'd never beat Liverpool at football before in a European match.
You're listening to World Words, a radio series from the British Council.
While the Scottish voices and settings give Be Near Me texture, what's really important in the novel is characters and relationships. The students have picked up on the story of Mark and his father, and how football is one of the few things that brings them together.
We go back to the title of the story, which is Be Near Me. And this just goes to show that maybe he and his father are not that close. And because of soccer and the team they support, maybe this can bring them closer together.
Well, I think I would say that for me, as a writer, I've always been interested in relationships overall. And I wanted this book to address not only what it was like in Mark's family. We see here in the extract that he rather feels his father didn't like him. And what he's describing over the game is a moment of closeness between him and his father. There's a story there, and the book tells that story. But it's also about relationships of another sort between the Scots and the English. Liverpool is an English team, and Celtic is a Scottish team. So there's a bit of tribal competition going on in this extract too. There's also a difference between Father David, the rather middle-class storyteller here, and these children who come from perhaps a background that's much more deprived economically. So all these relationships are happening at the same time and in the extract and in the book.
So Andrew is using football to explore the kind of relationships all of us recognise, between fathers and sons, between communities, and within social groups. And surely a story like this has to have been written by a real football fan.
He explains the way the players played in detail. If you're not really a fan of football, you won't know all this. But when you're passionate about it like he is, then you're going to give the hype, the emotions that goes with it.
Are you a football fan yourself?
Funnily enough, I'm not a football fan. I come from a big family where I have lots of brothers, each of whom is a fan of Celtic Football Club. So I had to talk to them and remind myself about their great love of the game and their love of that particular team. And that's what we call research.
At the end of the extract, we move from the dialogue about football to a beautiful description of the Scottish landscape, as viewed in the distance from the boat. I asked Andrew what effect this distance creates.
For me, something very magical happens on this journey. These children get to see Scotland as they've never seen it before. They're looking back to the coast where they live, where their language exists, where their history exists. And this is a magical moment for them. And it's only happened because this outsider, this English priest, has come and made it happen for them. And I wanted, when I was writing that passage, to indicate that they had actually crossed what is sometimes called the Rubicon. They'd crossed the bar. That's to say, they had transformed themselves by this journey. They would never live as they had lived before. It had changed their lives. In a small way, these children had learned to look at themselves, look at their nation, look at their landscape. And although we might never know the impact of that across their lives, I'd like the reader to imagine that this was a moment of transformation for them.
My thanks indeed to Andrew O'Hagan. And if you'd like to look out for his book, the title is Be Near Me. And Andrew's surname is spelt O'Hagan, O'Hagan. Thanks also to our readers from Namibia for sharing their ideas. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of World Words, and I'll leave you with another chance to hear some of that extract read by Andrew O'Hagan.
I looked back to see Scotland, the woods that fringe the headland and the green breast of the hills. From our position, it seemed nothing could ever reach us or force us back, and we passed into a strange proximity with the advancing island of Ailsa Craig. More than an island, it seemed like a testament to physical endurance, this place, this lonely rock less than a dozen miles from the coast. It could have been the Aegean. It could have been the Bay of Bengal. But it was a golden spot on the Irish Sea, and we sat in the open boat as it moved into the shade.
That was World Words with Karen Brodie. For a copy of that extract and more information, go to the British Council's website. The address is www.britishcouncil.org/literature.